Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Bhatnagar, and today I have the honor to be in front of Dr. Gary Josephson, author of a brand new book called Ordinary to Extraordinary, Seven Principles for Life Success. How are you doing today, Doctor?
I'm doing great, Shefalika, and thank you for having me on today. And I'm really excited to share with your listeners about Ordinary to Extraordinary and the journey.
I'm very excited to have you here and talk about this book. You are a local doctor here in Jacksonville, and you wrote this book, Just Seven Principles for How to Live Life. And you go from everything from financial literacy to checking your attitude to knowledge and wisdom to spiritual core. It's really a practical book that really hits all aspects of the human heart and the human experience.
Yeah, it's almost like a life management book. And that's not why I created it. And actually, to be honest with you, Shefalika, I wasn't even planning on writing a book. You know, what happened was in 2015, I got a call from my undergraduate university, the State University of New York at Albany, and they asked if I would be the commencement address speaker. And I was honored, and I said, I'm not a celebrity or anything. I don't think you want me. I think you want someone else. And they said, no, we think that you can inspire and motivate this wonderful class. And honored, I said, absolutely, I'd be enjoyed to do that. I figured I had eight months to write a speech. But I'll tell you, when you think about writing a 20 or 30 minute speech to a class, I don't know if 8 months is quite enough, because I had a lot of notes, but I had no speech. And my wonderful wife, 2 weeks before the commencement, I was getting a little nervous because I didn't have a speech. Mm-hmm. And she's my guru for sure. She said, why don't you talk about your seven principles? So why did I develop these seven principles? Early on in my life, I had some challenges that I had to overcome, and I needed something tangible because I'm a very visual person that I can kind of hold on to and explore. And so I came up with these seven principles. I wrote them down on a piece of paper. I hung them on my wall. And I said, I'm going to go ahead and live by this. And I researched these principles to see that there was evidence behind why they worked. And it did great for me. It helped me get through some very challenging times and move forward. And so I gave my commencement address on my seven principles. And after the commencement address, a number of people came up to me, parents and students alike, and said, you know, we want to know more. And so when I returned home, I said to my wife, I said, I think I need to write a book to share more and help more people to fulfill their life vision, be happy and be successful. So I started writing the book. I didn't want it to be a autobiography. And I got to tell you, I've made a lot of edits over the time because I threw a lot of stuff out because, you know, I wanted it to be a self-help book. Right. And I did a lot of research. I had created these files for each principle and got stuff off the internet, then verified those things were valid and were true. And then I ended up writing it. And when I finished the book, I signed with Morgan James Publishing out of New York City. They've been a wonderful partner to get the word out there.
That's fantastic. You know, the act of writing a book is hard enough as it is. And there's so many, it's such a long process. And a lot of people have dreams, including myself, of writing a book. And this, for our listeners at home, we are looking at roughly a 145-page book. It's got a beautiful yellow, bright cover with a man climbing a rock wall, and it is really just a very quick read. It's very well written, easy to grasp the first read through, and you have a lot of data in here, a lot of research. I can tell. I didn't realize that it started off as just a list for yourself after the hard things that you've gone through, and I know that all of our listeners here in Florida and around the world have gone through a very tough couple of years. And this book is not only coming out this year, it's a bestseller now across the board, across anywhere you can buy this book, you can find it. And just Google Ordinary to Extraordinary Dr. Gary Josephson, and you will find this quick little read. It is something you can give your friends, your family. It's inspiring for any age group. And I found the simplicity of it so elegant. And the fact that you kind of hit all the inherent needs of a person who's going through a growth spurt, so to speak. You mentioned on the back that, you know, the future is uncertain and there are plenty of young people going forward with kind of this mixed levels of doubt and confidence. So who is your target demographic for this book?
You know, that's a wonderful question. It's very interesting. So actually when I, again, if you go back, I wrote the book based on my commencement address, which was really for young career seekers and people graduating college. And what happened with this is that people more senior in their career or more advanced in their life picked up a copy and read it and said, you know, I may practice some of the principles, but not more. And they felt like it really gave them. So it went from something that I had envisioned more for the younger generation to everybody wants it. Matter of fact, a number of places have picked it up as a leadership book. They said, you know, you really need these core values. If you think about mind, body, and soul, you know, we need to be centered in ourselves, and that helps you. And so, like I said, it's kind of like a life management book for anybody and everybody. And that has been so rewarding for me because, again, you know, I want to try to help as many people as possible reach their full potential. And that's the feedback I'm getting. One of the biggest rewards, as I've shared with you a little bit earlier, is I've had people reach out to me on LinkedIn and connect with me and then giving me comments that thank you for writing this book, that they've enjoyed it, and it's really helped them in their trajectory. What's great to me is it's getting in more people's hands and we're helping more people. And as you indicated, in the last few years, but everybody has adversity in their life. One of the things one of the lectures that I give is called Adversity to Prosperity. And I talk about adversity and talk about building resilience. Again, what my book helps to teach and how to do that. And it doesn't matter how little or how much. The literature is clear out there. I'm an evidence-based person, and I like to talk about the literature. Going all the way back to something called the ACE study, which is the Adversity Child Experience Study, where they looked at children who had adversity in their life and how that impacted where they ended up in their lifetime. Again, it starts from a very young age, and that's what happened with me as I had some adversity in my life when I was younger. And creating these principles helped me to navigate through that. Mm. And we need to help our children because the success of our children is going to be the success of our adults, right?
That's true.
And it's never too late to start.
That's true. I know we all have gone through our own difficulties. And, you know, one saying I really love is that, you know, be kind to others because you never know what they're going through. And another one that I love is you have survived 100% of your toughest days. And so up till this point, right. And it helps me keep in perspective. But I found a few really interesting things about the quotes included in your book. You draw from wisdom from all cultures and all genres of education. And, you know, as a medical doctor, I'm sure that you see people going through their hardest days every day at work. So for our listeners at home, when he talks about how much this book means to him, he puts his hands over his chest and he smiles really big. So I believe he's onto something here, folks. So let's get right into it. Principle one, attitude, attitude, attitude. Tell me about that, how to create, choose, and control your attitude.
Yeah. So, you know, I say that the attitude chapter, there's four things. Well, first, let me take a step back because I love quotes as well. One of the things that I say is that kindness is free. That's the wonderful thing about kindness is we can be kind to everybody and it doesn't cost us anything to do that. Yeah. And, you know, when people talk about, they talk about time, talent, and treasure, they say the three T's of giving back, of benevolence. I actually say there's four T's. The fourth T is talk. And just giving someone a compliment, you make that person's day. You've given someone something really wonderful. And it's very simple to do. And it's important for us. It's important for our soul. It's important for us to be grounded, again, mind, body, and soul. And so absolutely, these are simple things that we can do to enhance other people's lives. You know, one of the things also that it's a quote, and I'm blanking on the name of where the quote came from, but it says, one person's adversity may be someone else's lifeline. And so we do also need to learn from other people because they may have gone through an experience similar and may be able to help you and tell you what's the best way to get through that so that you can continue your journey to health, happiness, and prosperity and just enjoying life. It is a journey. Life is a journey, and it's not simple. One of the things that I did with my book, which I think actually both publishers that were interested in my book really commended me on, was besides the vignettes that I've given through some stories of myself and other people that I found and talking about the different principles, at the end of every chapter or at the end of every principle, what I did is do something called tips, which were quick things that you can use just to start your journey down that principle. The second thing that I wanted to do is I'm a physician and I believe in evidence-based medicine. And so I wanted to put articles, and so I call it matters of fact. And so they are articles that tell why the principle works, that it's actually true. So what I'm telling you is not my opinion, it's evidence. And it helps people to start their journey, but they can look on the internet and find other articles in different, you know, based on that principle that they want to navigate through. The other thing I wanted to do with the book is you don't have to start at the beginning and finish at the end. I mean, you could pick principle four, which is, you know, which is sustainable wealth, or you can pick, you know, principle three, which is relationships and community. And you could only read, if you want, you could start with that principle. It doesn't lose anything by going back or going forward.
I want to detail, if you can, for our listeners, just what are the seven principles from 1 to 7, if you can list them out. And let's get into some of the depth of this book, because there's so much more that they'll find if they read it. But I want to get them their palate wet.
Sure, absolutely. So let me just quickly go through each principle just by title so people understand. And the first one is attitude was what I call is, you know, control your attitude. And we know that positive psychology, which is a very important thing, having a positive attitude is really important. Good emotional intelligence and how you manage adversity and how you manage yourself is very important. The third thing is managing your psyche, understanding your psyche. And I do talk about that in the book, as well as communication. Communication is very, very important in how we communicate to others. And we really need to think. And today's day and age with technology the way it is, you know, I always tell people, be careful before you press that send button. You know, read that email a few times because the person on the receiving end may be in a different space than you're thinking they may be in, and something that you may say. And the same thing is when you read an email, sometimes I tell people, if it emotionally challenges you, you probably should take a step back and read it again maybe an hour later, because what you may be receiving may be different. But number one is attitude. Number two is knowledge and wisdom, because I always say that you need to know more than you need to know, and it's a lifelong journey, and we should always continue to read and learn and continue to grow ourselves. The third principle is relationship and community. I always say the single most important decision you ever make in your life is the person you decide to partner with. That's the starting point, and then your community grows from there. The fourth principle is sustainable wealth, and I've always been amazed in my life about how people really have a hard time managing their finances.
Right. And so, we are not really taught.
Correct.
In any stage of the game, at any part of our education, we're not really taught about financial literacy, how to make it easy, how to understand how credit works and how financial prosperity can be developed from a normal economic baseline. You know?
And so I break it down in that chapter.
You do.
You're absolutely right, Shafaka. I
and
break it down
tips,
as simple.
And those tips and matter of facts at the end of that chapter, I scribbled so many notes on them. I learned so much. It was so, you know, I may be intelligent in my own right, but financial literacy is something that I still have a lot to learn about. And budgeting is something that, you know, I always kind of felt like only the rich can really afford to do it. I'm living paycheck to paycheck. How can I budget? How can I understand what CDs are or like investments? And you made it so simple to understand that, you know, you can start right now with a rainy day budget. You can start small and build. And it's how you cultivate the money that you're setting aside that turns it into something that's really a sense of safety and security in the future. So continuing after sustainable wealth, you do have the spiritual core. That was those two chapters back to back knocked me out of my chair. I was intellectually fed and financially excited, and then all of a sudden I was spiritually moved.
Oh, wonderful.
So tell me a little bit about that chapter.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what's interesting is that I did have one of my readers tell me that when they picked up my book, the first chapter they read was Spiritual Core because they wanted to see how I was going to communicate that. And they said after they read my Spiritual Core chapter, they decided they wanted to read the rest of the book. And so that was really nice and it was very humbling. And I just, you know, where do you turn when things are a challenge? And I really believe that, there's something bigger than ourselves and we need to give back. But you also have to worry about ourselves and make sure that we do the appropriate self-care, because how can we help others if we don't make sure that we're taking care of ourselves? But that's not being selfish. It's being, you know, I always tell people you be selfless, but you still need to care for yourself so that you can continue to give back.
Right.
And so that chapter really encompasses those things that people can do, one, to take care of themselves, and then how you can go ahead and have a greater belief and then help others. And again, it's all about kindness, gratitude. I mean, all of those things are encompassed in Spiritual Core.
I think so. And knowing yourself and being thankful for your own triumphs and tribulations, you know, like really tapping in and just being okay with the human being that you are.
Yeah, well, I tell people, you know, this was actually a quote from Dr. Seuss. You know, he said that to the world you may be one person, but to one person you may be the world. And that's
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And you know, you think about, you know, when you just touch even one person's life and helping and giving back, you've made an impact. And sometimes we do that one person at a time.
With the new year coming up, we have an entirely fresh start for all of us to embark upon. And I think that your sense of self-ownership and self-identity, you were able to provide what you call a self-help book. For me, I just felt it was kind of like a user manual for life and adulting. And adulting is hard enough, as it is.
Mm-hmm. It sure is.
And there were just basic, well-rounded principles to tap back into the heart of who you are and make a positive impact on the world. And so this book was a guided meditation in a way, just reading it. And it's such a simple and elegant read. I can tell that since this is your first book and you never planned on really writing a book, it just kind of happened. Lucky you. I can see the joy in your face. And I want to know, what does it feel like when you go and read some of those comments of what people have gone through? What does it feel like for you as a human being, not the author, the doctor, the husband, the father? You know, what does it feel like as a human for you?
Well, I believe that's why I was put on this earth, is to help more people. You know, I went into pediatric healthcare because of my experiences, or not such good experiences. Unfortunately, as a child, I was bullied. And went through some other challenging things again, which actually had me create these seven principles because I needed something tangible. It's very simple for someone to, you know, get very depressed and want to lay in bed all the time. And I was not going to allow that happen to me. And I don't want that to happen to anybody else. And so, again, I chose to become in pediatric healthcare because that was the way I was given. I wanted to give back. I wanted to make sure that any bad experience that I had or was mistreated, I didn't want anybody to be treated like that. I don't think anybody deserves to be treated like that. I think we're here to help people to reach their fullest potential. And when we help people reach their fullest potential as an individual, we're helping the society. We're helping the world. We just need to continue to make people better and help them because, again, as a unit, as a team, we take care of it from each individual perspective. We work together as a team. And then again, the world benefits. Everybody benefits. And so when I get this wonderful feedback, it can't be more. That's the most rewarding thing for me. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the fact that you're on humanity's team. thank you. And this book with the range of your seven principles, going from just check your attitude first, let's get positive with it, to let's work on your relationships and your communication, to your, you know, spiritual core, to your financial nest egg, so that you can have opportunities available to you. And something as simple as like your healthy living chapter about getting enough rest and getting enough water and fluids and eating healthy foods. It sounds so simple, but when you put it in some terms, I learned a few things from that chapter. I was like, wait a minute. You can't just go be sleep deprived Monday through Friday and then catch up on the weekends?
No.
It doesn't work like that,
doctor? It does not work that way, no.
They didn't send us the memo.
Yeah, I know. People think I don't sleep for a week and then I could sleep for 2 days and I catch up. That's not the case. You don't catch up. And it impacts you right there. And not only does it impact you when you have lack of sleep from a physical perspective, I mean, obviously, but also mentally. You're not as grounded. You will be a little bit, if something comes at you, you may not receive it the way because you're tired. People need to get a good night's sleep. You know, it's funny in that chapter when I first started writing it, and I know how I live healthy living. And when I first started to write it, I was thinking, you know, I'm a physician. People are probably going to expect me to do calorie counts and tell them all that. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to make it really simple.
Thank you for not doing that.
Yes, exactly. I figured they'd run the other way when the doctor starts talking about healthy living.
Absolutely.
So what I did is I made it very simple to just say, really, what is the core things? Is number one is prevention. You know, we want to stay healthy. And how do you stay healthy is, you know, you need, we're 70% water is what our body's made of. So we need to drink a lot of water to stay well hydrated. We need to get a good night's sleep. We need to have a balanced diet. Make sure, I always say everything in moderation. I even say moderation in moderation. We can have some enjoyable things sometimes that may be not so good for us, but in moderation. But we need to make sure that we're exercising, eating right. So I talk about things like that. It's very basic and practical for people to stay healthy.
Yeah. And the way you speak about it, it's not at all, it doesn't sound as if it's coming from, you know, you're sitting in a doctor's office or you're sitting in a, you know, class and the teacher's telling you what to do with your life. Yeah. It comes from the point of view of just a person who's on your side. Yeah. It's really like that was the remarkable. I love hearing the voice of an author when I read a book. I can see between the lines. I can feel the way that they naturally carry their words. And because I'm a wordsmith, that's my passion.
You're a journalist.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. And a storyteller. And I can see the way people incorporate stories with their facts. And you position yourself, your voice as an author positions yourself next to the reader as a friend, chilling on a front porch on a beautiful day, just saying, hey, by the way, there's this thing I heard the other day about water, or this is about sleep. Did you know that, you know, you've been so tired all week, you can't actually catch up? Maybe tonight we should go to bed a little early and just start fresh tomorrow.
Correct.
Maybe, you know, a glass of water before bed will help too, you know. And so you come across as a very genuine writer, and I appreciate that from the reader's perspective. It is a best-selling book from a local Jacksonville physician, which matters. In my opinion, I think that's pretty cool. And I'd like to move on to the last chapter, if we may, before we run out of time. Let's talk about the art of giving and benevolent acts.
Well, the way I feel is, you know, why are we here? We're here to make the next generation better, the world better. And so we need to give back. I think that's the core of who we are. And actually, the thing that people don't necessarily realize, they may, but, you know, giving is not only good for the receiver of the giving, but it's great for the giver. When you give, you feel wonderful. It's actually good for your health to give because it makes people feel wonderful, feel spiritual, feel that they've done something really nice for someone else. Mm-hmm. And so it touches all people that are involved in giving. Mm-hmm. And so, but again, it's really a core value of human beings. Human beings, we are givers, and so mm-hmm. we need to encapture that because, again, we want to make sure that the next generation or current generations are doing okay, and that's what we do. And not only that, it's fun. I've given time, talent, treasure, talk, like I talked about. Mm-hmm. I don't think any principle is more important than any other, but I do think that the benevolent principle is kind of the wraparound principle. It's mm-hmm. the, you know what I mean? And so I think it's core of who we are as human beings. I think people can find the time And I think it's good for not only who you give to, but for yourself. And so it's very important. And again, touches your spiritual core. All the principles kind of touch each other.
Yeah, they do. They overlap in a way. And I like how giving is more of an art. You don't have to have anything. Like you said, kindness is free. Having a conversation, a real genuine conversation with somebody is more impactful and meaningful, and it brings you joy. It brings them belonging and connection. And at the end of the day, we are all going through our own things and we all are striving to connect.
Absolutely. And like I said, kindness is free.
Yeah.
And it's really wonderful. And again, I've been known and I enjoy talking to people and getting to know people and also learning about their backgrounds and learning mm-hmm. how they came. And I learned so much just from listening mm-hmm. to what people have to share, because it is just, we have such a diverse world. And people come from all kinds of backgrounds. And I want to learn from that. I continue to try to learn from that always. And it makes me a better person.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. That's why I do what I do as well. All right, so it's called Ordinary to Extraordinary, 7 Principles for Life Success by Dr. Gary Josephson.
I want to thank you for having me on your show. This was absolutely wonderful. Maybe we could do that again sometime. But I want everybody to live an extraordinary life, and I wish everybody well.
Thank you for listening to Jack's Journal. I'm your host, Shefalika Bhatnagar, and I'm joined today by Dr. Gary Josephson, author of Ordinary to Extraordinary, 7 Principles for Life Success. Who doesn't want that? We'll be back again next week, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.